Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about a subject that I need probably more than you do. Gratitude. I am very, very, very grateful for so many things. But I know that I'm not grateful enough for everything that comes into my life. And so it's something that I've been thinking about and I wanted to talk to you about. And so we've been talking about this for several days. And I asked the question at the beginning, are you a complainer or a thanker? Gratitude will transform your life. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed? They walked away, but one of them turned around and said, "Thank you." And Jesus said to the man, "Where are the 9? Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? Where are the 9? And perhaps that is a pretty accurate assessment of the percentage of people who are truly grateful. Maybe only about 10%. Well, I want to be in the grateful 10%. Do you? It takes practice for some of us. And I'm one by nature whose tendency is to complain. Oh, well, I could say that's just the way I am. I'm a complainer. I have a critical mind. No, I can't get away with using an excuse like that. A true Christian is grateful. Gratitude is certainly one of the characteristics of the holy men and women of God whose lives I want to emulate. I have another letter today from a listener to this program. She says, "I've tried to describe you to some of my friends, and when I get stuck, I just say, 'The women's libbers would hate Elizabeth Elliot.' One friend replied, 'Oh, good, she sounds like my kind of woman.' Thanks for that encouragement." My correspondent goes on to say, "I'm the eldest. I was the social butterfly type, and I didn't like to learn homemaking skills. Oddly, I still held as my utmost desire to be a wife and mother. That was the only career I ever wanted. But I was bossy, bullheaded, and totally unprepared for the chores of homemaking. I am committed to being home full-time for my children. I'm so glad that my mother was home for us 5. I have a 3-year-old, and we expect our next child in about 2 months. Being home full-time hasn't been for me all it should have been. I still wanted the same social life and to be as involved at church as I was before children. Well, you can imagine the stress and chaos that resulted. Well, during 1989, God seemed to be calling me to spend more and more time at home and less time running around. I like to say it this way. What good is it if I'm ministering to people at church and my friends when I can't properly minister to my own family's needs? If I'm out, quote, saving souls, unquote, and neglecting my children and they go to hell, God will hold me accountable for my children first. I finally heard the call to motherhood and wifery, which has been there all along. I feel such peace. There are people at church who disapprove, but I don't have to answer to them ultimately. I know I'm where God wants me to be. I've said all this to say thank you for your program of Friday, January 5th. Actually, all of that week's programs were wonderfully helpful. Thank you for the encouragement. Sometimes I wonder if I'm cut out for the job, but it doesn't change my commitment. Elizabeth, thank you for your commitment. Thank you for being a sane voice in a chaotic, ungodly world." Well, thank you, Julia. I surely do appreciate that letter. About 100 years or so ago, H.L. Sidney Lear wrote this, "A bright, happy soul, rejoicing in all God's gifts, seeing cause for thankfulness and gladness in everything, counting up mercies rather than trials, looking at the bright side, even of sickness, bereavement, and death, what a very fountain of goodness and love of Christ such a one is. I remember one who, worn with sickness and sleepless nights, answered to the question if nights did not seem interminable, 'Oh no, I lie still and count up my blessings.'" That's a good piece of advice for those of you who have insomnia. Lie still and count up your blessings. And I love George Herbert's poem written back in the 17th century on gratefulness. "Thou that hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart. See how thy beggar works on thee by art. But thou didst reckon, when at first thy word our hearts and hands did crave, what it would come to, at the worst, to save. Perpetual knockings at thy door, tears sullying thy transparent rooms, gift upon gift, much would have more, and comes. This notwithstanding, thou wentest on, and didst allow us all our noise. Nay, thou hast made a sigh and groan thy joys. Wherefore I cry, and cry again, and in no quiet canst thou be till I a thankful heart obtain of thee. Not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise." I want to read that last few lines again. "Not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise." The praise of God ought to be the pulse of a Christian's life. Don't you think so? Do you wake up in the morning with these words on your lips, "May Jesus Christ be praised"? That's suggested to us by a hymn, "When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised." Brother Lawrence, that monk of several hundred years ago, who was assigned work in the kitchen, praised the Lord continually among the pots and pans. He found it just as possible to be practicing the presence of God in the kitchen with people demanding this and that and running here and there, as he did in private, in his quiet time, in his cell. The practice of the presence of God certainly involves thanksgiving. And you know, a lack of gratitude is really a pretty serious sin. Did you know that it is actually categorized along with idolatry and sexual sin? Look at 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 6, Paul is reviewing some of the history of Israel, and he says, "These things happened as symbols to warn us not to set our desires on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters like some of them. As Scripture has it, the people sat down to feast and rose up to revel. Let us not commit fornication as some of them did, and 23,000 died in one day. Let us not put the power of the Lord to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents." And then listen to this in verse 10. "Do not grumble against God, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." And the word destroyer is capitalized. It's one of the words, one of the names for Satan, the enemy of our souls. If you grumble against God and fail to thank him, I think that's the work of the destroyer. And of course, he is out to destroy you as well as his enemy God. The true Christian is thankful for all things. How is it possible to be thankful for all things? Because we trust him. Trust is the ground of our thanksgiving. Let's not be grumblers, classed along with idolaters and fornicators, but let's be praisers, thankers, whose lives are characterized by a bright, cheerful, sunny spirit.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.